Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Friday, September 5th, and joining me by phone right now, John Hall, founder of Trinity Hope Haitian Feeding Program. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Andy. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for taking some time to talk with us this morning. Tell us, why did you start Trinity Hope Haitian Feeding Program?
Well, in 1999, a group from my church went down to do mission work with the Lutheran Mission in Gonna East, Haiti. And while we were there, we had an occasion to visit schools, and we just saw those children were so hungry and malnourished that they couldn't learn. And we decided that God was calling us to feed those children, and we made a commitment to the leader of that mission to start feeding that school as soon as we returned home so that the children could learn and could be receptive to the good news of Christ that the teachers and the pastors were teaching. And we started with that one school, and we have just continued.
Well, very good. And so how many children are being fed through Trinity Hope?
Our children, teachers, and the cooks at the school all qualify for our programs. And at this point, school will start back on September 8th. And we'll be feeding about 17,500 each day.
And so how has word gotten out about the program Trinity Hope in Haiti? How do people find out about it and get connected with it?
Well, in Haiti, the word just spreads that there's an organization that is willing to provide a noon meal for children in Christian schools. And it's just well known. Our pastors, our Lutheran pastors, all know it. They know if they have a school that they open or they become associated with, that it can qualify. They tell their friends. And the problem is not getting the word out in Haiti. It's raising money fast enough to keep up with the demand.
And so how is Trinity Hope Haitian Feeding Program, how does it function? How is it supported?
Well, we're supported by donors. Mm-hmm. We have two different types of donors. One of people that just give money and with no specific designation. And then we also have donors who sponsor a school, and they in turn say, for 1 year, I will pay the cost of the feeding program in the school. And most times after that year, they simply do it again. And again, but we have donors in 37 states and two provinces in Canada.
Very good. And so is all the food that you provide, where does it come from? The food that you provide for the schools there in Haiti for the children, where does that food come from?
We purchase it in Haiti. We purchase it from the local vendors and markets. However, Haiti can only grow about 45% of what they consume. So a lot of the food that we buy is imported by the local people from the United States. Most of our rice comes from Arkansas. A lot of our beans come from Nebraska, oil from oil producers in the United States. So a lot of what we buy is imported, but it's all bought from local vendors.
Why is that important that you use local vendors? Why is it that you use local vendors and farmers?
Well, Our chief aim, our main aim, is to help spread the good news of Jesus Christ to the school children in Haiti. However, we want to do things that not only achieve that goal, but are beneficial for the Haitian people. We want to help their economy if we can, and we purchased about 225,000 pounds of rice a year, about half that many beans, about that much corn. And so what we purchase, while compared to the national economy, is not great, it is certainly a huge boost for the local vendors who get to sell it to us. And so we want to give them the opportunity to prosper along with our efforts. We also want to hire local people to be the cooks in our schools. Having a feeding program in a school just makes it stronger and benefits the school so that they can attract more students and reach out to more people. We have training programs for the people who work for us to improve their management techniques and life skills. We have a lot of intangible and side things that we very much try to do to improve the people in the country of Haiti, and buying from local vendors is just one of those things.
And tell us about some of the time that you've spent in Haiti, some of the trips that you've made there. What have you learned? What have you gained? What are some of the things that you've done while spending time in Haiti?
Well, the biggest thing that I've seen is while Haiti is still the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, I've seen some tremendous changes in Haiti. I've seen little kids from almost all the little boys, 3 years old and under, for example, in the major cities, they would almost never have clothes. And then as they got older, they would have clothes, but they would be, the kids were real poorly clothed. They had almost no health care. The electricity was sporadic. You might have electricity 1 or 2 hours a day. The roads were terrible, and I've seen Haiti begin to change. And the roads are better, thanks mostly to gifts from foreign governments. Their electrical grid is spreading. The children, while they're still malnourished and hungry, they're much better cared for. But the biggest thing that I've seen, and the most pleasant thing I've seen, is I've seen a decline in the number of voodoo temples. Time was that you could get on National Highway 1 in Port-au-Prince and go to Gonaïves, and mile after mile you would pass voodoo temples, just shacks with the voodoo flags flying over it that said, here's a voodoo priest and here's a voodoo priestess. Now, on our trips down there, people on our mission teams, especially those who had just gone for the first time, want to see a voodoo temple. And instead of saying, well, there's one, there'll be another one right up the road, now we're really having to look to spot these temples, because along the main corridors especially, voodoo is declining. And Christianity is a winner. And people are converting from voodoo to Christianity. And even though voodoo is still the official religion of Haiti, and 65% of the people still practice it, Christianity is becoming a bigger and bigger force.
Hmm. And so by being there as Trinity Hope and meeting these earthly needs, you're also able to help connect them with a ministry of the word, to hear Jesus' words, to hear that gospel and bring hope in that way, love and a true religion that they can trust in that, not this, as you said, as you were pointing out, the voodoo religion that's so common there.
That's true. And our churches in Haiti, and Lutheran is a predominant denomination in Haiti, our churches in Haiti are poised and ready to do a good job. They are have great locations. They are extremely motivated. They almost all of them have schools associated with them. But these children come to school, and most of them haven't had a meal at home in maybe 1 or 2 days. And they can't concentrate. They have these hunger pains. They have spots before their eyes. They have no energy. Mm. And when we feed them a meal, that all changes. Their attention span increases. And not only does their ability to learn increase, but they see the food as a witness to the truth of the good news. There are no voodoo priests that are providing food, but they see people in the United States and Canada providing food through the love of Christ, and we tell them it's not us, it's not Trinity Hope, it's not the mission team, this is God's love being shared with you. And they see that as a witness to the truth of what they're being taught. And these children come to believe by the scores. 90% to 95% of the children in our schools believe in Jesus Christ. And they're great missionaries. They tell their parents, they tell their friends, they tell their families, and 60% to 70% of their families come to believe as well.
Hmm. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, I want to hear more about the work that Trinity Hope is doing in Haiti. Hope, listeners, that you can join us for the rest of the conversation. We're talking with John Hall. He's the founder of Trinity Hope Haitian Feeding Program. Stick around for more His Time right after this break on Listener Supported Worldwide, KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Because we have more to say about using a secular marketing tool to teach interesting Bible classes, on the next Law and Gospel, we will use Psalm 1 as an example. At first glance, it appears that the psalm has no real Law and Gospel, but that is not the case. And we will also take open mic calls.
Weekday mornings beginning at 9:30 on KFUO.
Whether you're a regular worshiper at the church of your choice or find it difficult for you to get to church on Sunday morning, you may benefit from our live worship broadcasts each week on KFUO. Our early service begins at 8 o'clock Central and originates from Blessed Savior Lutheran Church in Florissant, Missouri, where Reverend Matthew Roglin leads divine worship. Our live late worship broadcast at 10:45 comes from Timothy Lutheran Church in St. Louis, where Senior Pastor Ron Rall presides during the worship service. Join us for the message of mercy and forgiveness through Jesus Christ, Sunday mornings on Worldwide KFUO.
On the next Lamplighter Theater.
Lord, please protect our son. Oh,
your wagon is stunning. I've never seen anything like it in all my life.
Imports, boy. That's how you get a purse of gold like mine.
You're thinking of David, aren't you?
He's all alone out there in a big world.
Don't miss the next Lamplighter Theater.
Saturday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO.
Listening to Worldwide KFUO on the go with your smartphone doesn't mean you have to walk around with earbuds all day. You can Bluetooth across the room to a speaker system in your home or listen on radios that have built-in smartphone cradles. There are many easy ways to listen to WorldwideKFUO.org on the air, online, and on demand. We proclaim the clear gospel message of Christ crucified for our sins. The messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Friday, September 5th. We're talking with John Hall, founder of Trinity Hope Haitian Feeding Program. John, before we went to break, we were hearing about the work that Trinity Hope does in Haiti. You recently made a trip to Haiti, is that correct?
Yes, I did, and I would love to talk with you about that. I would like to tell the listeners also, if you want to know more about Trinity Hope, just go to our webpage. It's trinityhope.org. And you can find a lot of information there about us, and it also connects to our Facebook page, and you can just do research on what we do and our history as well. But yeah, in August of each year, we go down, and two of us, and we teach our feeding program directors. We have local people who run our programs in Haiti, and we call them feeding program directors, and we have they're in different locations all throughout the country based on where our schools are. And we went down in August, and we simply teach them classroom style. School is not in session in August, so there's no visits to schools. They just come into one location. We listen to their concerns, their problems. We talk through those with them, and we give them new insights and methods on how to do their jobs better. And we do that each year in August. It's just a three-day trip, but this year we decided to do something additionally. We have known for some time that if we could go up the supply chain, we could find less expensive prices. And we have always gotten competitive bids from the local vendors, and we have always gotten very good prices, better than because of quantity buying. But we knew that if we could go up the supply chain and get a little closer to the importers, use a local vendor that has better connections, that we could find better prices. And so we spent 3 days doing that, and we're able to find those, not only find those that maybe were up the supply chain a little bit, but talk to some of the vendors we were using and explain to them what humanitarian and Christian work we were doing, and get some of them to participate with us in a philanthropic way. And so we were able to negotiate some very good prices, and that'll be a part of savings to our donors as well. So that's what our most recent trip was entailed.
Very good. And how important is it that that you get to see what's going on and see the, you know, the work that Trinity Hope is doing firsthand? How important is it to for you to have that opportunity? I would think so that you can share that with those who support Trinity Hope, right?
Yes, it is very important. Number one, it's important for me just to keep a feel of what's going on so that I know how to help our executive board and our board of directors react to what's happening in Haiti. And we have five or six teams. I'm not the only one, at least, teams in Haiti. And all that information is kind of collected and brought back as a basis of operation. Not only to help keep us informed, then, as you say, we can help keep our donors informed. But it's also a real blessing to those people in Haiti just to know that the leadership of Trinity Hope is willing to come down there two, three, four times a year and ride down those dirt roads and get beat up by the ruts and jars and bumps, and be in a country that has no air conditioning and no clean water, and observe all the trauma that's going on. It's a tremendous encouragement to them that we're not just sending money. We're a part of what they're doing. We understand what they're going through. And then I think the other thing that is just so critically important, those visits just tie it all together. It's kind of a glue that makes our operation, makes our focus on Christ. It makes our desire to help the kids. When you go down there and you see the children, and you go to a school that's not being fed, and we don't have the money to feed that school yet, and we see those children, and then you come to a school that we are feeding, and you see the difference that one meal a day makes, and you see the difference in how the kids react when you say, "Do you love Jesus?" And the kids in the school is being fed with energy and all the vigor in the world put their hands up and shout, "Yes, yes, we love Jesus." It just being there makes all of that real, so that it forms a complete unit for what we do.
Now, you shared with us that you travel a few times a year. Who else has made that trip? Are there others who have traveled with you?
Well, yes, there are others that travel with me. There are others that lead groups. We have a board member in Lincoln, Nebraska. He goes down once a year. We have our manager of daily operations. She'll be taking teams down next year. Our executive director goes down at least twice and probably three times a year. So we have lots of people that on our behalf are down there doing work many, many times a year.
Now, as I understand, recently some family went with you as well, correct?
Yeah. Yes, a year ago in March, my daughter and my grandson went. And as a team leader, you're always feel the responsibility for the team. But and there's lots of things. There are lots of dangers in Haiti and lots of unknowns. And you always try to think through them and what if and have scenarios of how to respond. But when my daughter and my grandson was going with me, I can tell you that my daddy antenna were way up. And it was a different experience. But things went very well. And then the following March, my granddaughter and my daughter and my grandson went. And I was much more relaxed that time. But it's a different feeling to have your immediate family with you, and to know that all the things that even a flat tire in Haiti can be an issue. We've been down there when a congressman or a legislator was killed, and there were roadblocks, and we had trouble getting out. And we've had teams down there when there were riots and disturbances over the price of food because the people just couldn't eat. So there's always things like that may happen, and we do our best to avoid them. And we're always with local people, and we don't go any place they tell us it's too dangerous to go. But there is an element of danger when you're down there.
When is your next trip?
The next trip is scheduled to be in March, and that'll be led by our manager of daily operations. And then we'll have one in April or May, and that'll be led by our executive director. And I suspect then we'll have another one or two that is of now unscheduled. That's also published on our website, and that's a way for people that want to go on a trip with us to connect. And that, again, is trinityhope.org. We ask people who are going with us to have a commitment to do what we do and at least think when they come back that they might want to join in and be a part of our effort to bring Christ to these children. But we welcome people's inquiry on going on a trip with us. Also on that website is a place that you can give donations through PayPal, and we, of course, welcome that.
Give us just an idea, when someone supports Trinity Hope, how a dollar, $20, how that makes a difference? What kind of difference does that make?
Well, when someone supports Trinity Hope, the meals cost 26 cents per day per child. So if you give $26, you'll feed 20 children for a week. That's huge. 26 cents per child, you can make a difference in so many lives just by a modest gift. And we have people who give one time a year. We have people that give five times a year. We have people that give every month. We have people that give to feed an entire school for a year. But every gift is significant and important because our cost of feeding those children are so low.
So a dollar goes quite a long way when making a donation in terms of feeding children in these schools. And it's not just food that you're providing, but also supporting Christian education by doing this as well.
Absolutely. And as I said earlier, we were so fortunate in that that Christian churches down there, Lutheran churches who we started working with and who are still the core of our group, do such a good job with the Word and Sacrament Ministry, and our churches do such a good job with having schools and teaching the children in those schools Christian values and the Scripture and the Catechism. But these children can't learn if they're hungry, and they can't. While God's Word never returns void, it certainly is enhanced by improving the conditions of these children. And once we begin to see them, then their hearts are more ready. And they're just alert and awake and can receive the good news of Christ as well as learn their math and reading and other educational skills.
Well, very good. Now, you mentioned earlier, listeners can find out more about Trinity Hope on your website, trinityhope.org. There's information on the work that Trinity Hope is doing, news. Are the upcoming trips listed on there as well?
There is a place. I'm not sure that the dates of the trips aren't set yet, just the months.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure that they're there, but there is definitely a place that says, are you interested in going on a mission trip with Trinity Hope? You can register there and be put on our list to receive further information, the specific dates and information as it gets closer. And while we always want people to go, the number of people that we can actually take is pretty restricted because we try to take teams where we can keep everybody involved. We don't want people to go down and say, well, what did I come for? We want people to go down in groups and a mission team that's fairly small where we can keep them involved in the work. So I would suggest to people not only that they would like to go on a trip with us, but they just become involved in helping us feed these children every day. Because every day, every dollar is a mission dollar that is going to tell some child of the good news of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And I understand you have an event. Is there an event coming up in October as well?
We do. We have a Festival of Hope, and it is at the here in Tennessee. It's in Mount Juliet at the Charlie Daniels Park. And this is just a celebration of what we do. And we invite all the local community, all the local churches, all the local Lutheran churches, all our supporters to come out. We'll have a 5K race. We have a kids zone. We have crafts. We have vendors, booths, free music all day, and a great barbecue, a meal with all the trimmings, which there's a cost for the meal of $10. But everything else is free. We just invite people to come out and celebrate with us and learn more about Trinity Hope. That's October the 4th, and it's called Festival of Hope at the Charlie Daniels Park, and that's also on our website.
You can find that at trinityhope.org. We've been talking with John Hall, founder of Trinity Hope Feeding Program for Haitian Children. John, thanks so much for being our guest today on His Time.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got our study of the daily lectionary. Stick around for more His Time right after this.